Rupa and Sanatan Goswami.
They were as wealthy as Raghunath Das. They were the chief ministers of the king. And in order to keep them satisfied, the king literally divided the wealth of his kingdom with them. They were like partners to the king. They had magnificent castles, gardens, lakes, fine clothes, fine foods, power, prestige, popularity, beauty, knowledge, everything. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramkeli, there were millions and millions of people chanting the holy names right in the very town where the Nawab Hussein Shah, the king of Bengal, was living. He outlawed any public practice of Hindu rites. People feared him. But here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just came dancing into Ramkeli with millions of people fearlessly, filling the universe with the thunderous sounds of the holy name. When the Nawab Hussein Shah heard about Lord Chaitanya's qualities, he asked one of his secretaries, "Who is this person I've heard?" He said, "Well, I've never seen anyone like him. He's so beautiful. He has lotus eyes. His moon-like face is like gold. And he has long arms beneath his knees. And he's constantly weeping and crying in ecstasy as he's chanting the names of God. And he has millions of people around him. He's induced them all to surrender to Krishna." So the Nawab Hussein Shah called one of his assistants, who was actually a devotee. He said, "Tell me about this prophet that has come." And the person was thinking, if I tell him that he's how great he is and the influence he's having over others, then he may become very envious and punish him, attack him. So he said, "Actually, it's all rumors that he's attracting. He has a few people following him around. He's just an ordinary beggar sannyasi. No, it's not even worthy of your time to think about." The Nawab Hussein Shah never saw Lord Chaitanya. Just by hearing about him, he became so moved. He said, "Why are you blaspheming him? He's the supreme personality of Godhead." He said, "I have to pay so much money to keep anyone to be faithful to me. He's not paying anyone, and he has millions of people surrendering their lives to him. He's God." That was the power of Lord Chaitanya. Rupa and Sanatan, in the middle of the night, they disguised themselves and secretly went to Lord Chaitanya's place. He was sitting under a tamal tree and a kadamba tree. There, Rupa and Sanatan, with straw in their teeth, surrendered their lives in great humility at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Considering themselves to be the most fallen, the most abominable, more degraded than Jagai and Madhai, begging for his mercy, expressing that, "You are Patita Pavana, you are the deliverer of the most fallen, therefore we have no other hope than you." Lord Chaitanya began to cry by hearing their humility. He said, "Your humility is breaking my heart. Please stop speaking these words." He embraced them. He placed his lotus feet on their heads. He gave Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik the names Rupa and Sanatan and accepted them as his own loving servants. After this beautiful exchange, Rupa and Sanatan decided to reject their position, their wealth, their everything to serve the Lord. Such an impossible thing that they did. They hired Brahmins to perform pujas. And the result they wanted from their pujas so that they could renounce everything of the world. Most of you here are from India. How many pujas is there for people to be successful in business, to acquire more? for the welfare of family and business and wealth and society. They were performing pujas to renounce everything. Rupa Goswami left. He had, when he left, besides his beautiful mansions and all of his property, he had several boatfuls of gold. That's many tolas. He had boatfuls of wealth. Just gave it all away. 50% he gave to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas to spread Krishna consciousness. 25% he gave to his family members to sustain them. 25% for emergency. And what was the emergency? Sanatana Goswami was put in prison. He wouldn't come to work. He was just studying Srimad Bhagavatam. The Nawab, he was getting notes that I'm sick. I cannot come to work. So he needed him desperately. So he sent a doctor, said, go, make him well. I need him. So the doctor came back and told Nawab, he's in perfect health. What's he doing? He just has all these Brahmins. He's just studying Srimad Bhagavatam all day. So the Nawab stormed to that place and came in and saw there he was with all these Brahmins speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. He was furious. I've treated you like my own younger brother. I've given you everything. How could you do this to me? I'm about to go out and conquer many lands. I need you to maintain the kingdom. Sanatana Goswami said that I will no longer do any more service. You can do with me as you like. So he put him in jail. One day, he was chief minister. The next day, he's in prison. Of course, that sometimes happens here in India, too. But not voluntarily. They get caught and they deny it to the fag end of the law case until they get forced into prison. But Sanatana Goswami just willingly accepted it. And Rupa Goswami used that emergency money to bribe the jail keeper so that Sanatana could escape. When Sanatana somehow or other escaped, his associate, he had secretly brought some money, some gold coins. And they got to this one hilly tract of land, somewhere near Bihar. That area, especially in those days, was full of dacoits and criminals. So that hilly tract of land was impossible to cross over without help. So they stayed at an inn overnight. And one palmist, who also was an astrologer, he told the keeper of inn, who was also one of the criminals and dacoits, he said, this person has how many gold coins? 8 gold coins. He decided, tonight or tomorrow, I will kill him. I will take him to the tract of land, and when nobody's around, I will kill him and steal his money. But when he was speaking to Sanatana, he didn't want him to suspect that what his plan was. So he was treating him very, very respectfully. And Sanatana Goswami, he was a prime minister. So he knew diplomacy quite well. He was empowered. He was thinking in his mind, why is this person treating me with such respect and with such affection? He must want to kill me and steal from me, but I don't have anything. So he asked his servant, do you have any gold coins? He said, yes. But he said, I have 7 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami said, give it to me. The next morning, first thing, he dropped all those gold coins and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, you keep this. The man's heart melted. He said, you're giving me this for nothing? He said, you've melted my heart. You can have your gold coins. I promise I will not harm you. I will take you through the hilly tract of land. Sanatana Goswami said, no, you must take. If you don't take these gold coins, someone else will take my life. It's very dangerous to have a lot because people are willing to do anything to get it from you. If you don't have anything, people really don't care about you, which is a safe position to be in this world.
So Sanatana Goswami gave it all away.
And then after they went by the track, the hilly track of land, he told his servant, "Do you have any more gold coins?" Can't lie to Sanatana Goswami. So he said, "I have one more." He said, "You keep it, use it, go home. I don't want you. You are released from your service." From that point on, he was alone.
When he got to Varanasi, some other village,
Hajipur. When he came to Hajipur, he happened to see his brother-in-law, Shrikant.
And Shrikant was a very wealthy man. And he saw Sanatan. I mean, he was just wearing the tattered clothes of a prisoner. He was emaciated. He was in total poverty. He said, "Come, you could live with me for some days." Sanatan Goswami said, "I will not live with you even for one moment." But out of affection, he gave him a nice new blanket. And Sanatan Goswami, out of not wanting to break his heart, for his sake, he accepted the blanket. Then when he went to Varanasi, he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How did they meet? He was sitting in the courtyard of the house of Chandrasekhar, where Lord Chaitanya lived. And Lord Chaitanya said to Chandrasekhar, "Go outside, there's a great saintly person who's waiting out there." So he went out, looked around, came in. There's nobody there. So, no, there's a great saintly person out there, bring him in. Went out. Looked around, came back, said, "There's no saintly person out there." He says, "Is anybody there?" He said, "There's just one poverty-stricken Muslim mendicant sitting out there." He said, "Oh, that's him." Lord Chaitanya personally came out to the courtyard, saw Sanatan. Sanatan got up. They embraced and bathed each other with tears of ecstatic love. And Chandrasekhar was astonished. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami to shave up, because he said he looked like a Daravesh. He had beard and long hair. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada translates the word Daravesh as hippie. The Lord Chaitanya did not want hippies. So he shaved his head, he shaved his face. Lord Chaitanya said, "You please take prasad with me." Sanatan Goswami said, "No." Tapan Mishra wanted to give him prasad at his house every day. Sanatan Goswami said, "No, I will go out and beg and do madhukari." But one day when Lord Chaitanya was looking at Sanatan, he just glanced at that blanket. And Sanatan was thinking, "The Lord doesn't like my blanket." So he went to a bathing ghat, Ganga. And there was an old mendicant who had this torn up quilt and he was washing it. And Sanatana Goswami came up to him and said, "I will exchange this nice new expensive blanket for your tattered quilt." And the person thought, "He's making fun of me because I'm so poor." Sanatana said, no, I'm serious." So they were both very happy. Sanatan Goswami came to Lord Chaitanya wearing this tattered quilt. The Lord asked, "Where is your blanket?" He told him what happened. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said, "The last snare of your entanglement in Maya was that blanket. Now, Krishna has mercifully liberated you from that." What would people think? You're doing madhukari with expensive blankets. So he spoke to Sanatana Goswami for 2 months on the banks of the Ganga. Then he sent him to Vrindavan. The instructions Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa and Sanatana, they were to establish temples in Vrindavan in the worship of the deity. They were to locate and excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes throughout Brajbhumi. They were to extract the very essence of all the scriptures and write Vaishnava literatures propounding
the glories of pure devotional service, and they were to demonstrate by their own life's examples how to live in the renounced order of life. People would come back from Bengal after visiting Vrindavan, and the people were always eager to hear about the pastimes of Rupa and Sanatan. They would ask them, did you see Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami? How are they living? Where are they staying? What are they eating? What are they wearing? Please tell us, what do they do? And the people, with tears of love in their eyes, hearts melting in ecstasy, they would respond, we have never seen anyone like Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they sleep on the bare ground under a different tree every night. Their clothes, they simply pick up the tattered garbage of cloth that the Brijabasis throw away, and they use that as their clothes. They wear one kopan and one chadar. As far as their food, they do madukari. They beg house to house. All they eat is some dry roti and maybe some fried chickpeas. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami are the very embodiments of renunciation. But yet, they're constantly remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, constantly discussing his glories. They're immersed in kirtan of the holy name. They're writing literatures, profuse volumes of literatures in glorification of Radha and Krishna. Their eyes are always filled with the tears of love. And all the people of Vrindavan love him more dear than their very lives. This is how Rupa and Sanatan are living. When people would hear the description of their simplicity, their austerities, their love and their service, their hearts would melt. Sanatan Goswami, back in Ramkeli, he had exquisite palaces. He could go back anytime. But in Vrindavan, even when he had the Madan Mohan deity, he had Madan Mohan sitting in the hole in the tree that was his temple. Sometimes a little swing from the branch of a tree he would have him on. And when Krishnadas Kapoor came and volunteered to build the Madan Mohan temple, Sanatan Goswami accepted it for Madan Mohan. He maintained the same standard of his own life. Yat Vlaturanamashe Shamandalapati Srinim Sadhatu Chavat. Srinivasacharya tells, what was the standard of the renunciation of the six Goswamis? Just wearing little kopan, sleeping under the ground, begging for some food. But they were constantly absorbed in the blissful sentiments of the gopis' love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath that wealth. Such a wealth that was such a higher taste that all the glories and the wealth of this world were absolutely insignificant in the process. Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes give an example of one court justice in Calcutta who was making many, many lakhs of rupees. But then due to Gandhi's persuasion of the non-participation movement with the British, he had to give up his job as a British court justice. And he got a very simple job. And he just got enough money to just live comfortably. Within 1 year, he died because he couldn't bear living without his riches and opulence. Because if there's not a higher taste, it's miserable to lose something. But then he compared him to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. They had billions of times more wealth than this man, and they gave it all up to live under trees. But yet they were always absorbed in the ecstatic happiness of the gopis' love. Param drisvani vartate.
Lord Chaitanya gave them the supreme wealth. When you have that supreme wealth, then the wealth of this world becomes insignificant. You'll use it for Krishna's service if that is Krishna's desire, but it has no significance to your own life. If you have $1 billion, then one penny does not have much value. If you have love of God, which is like billions of dollars, then even if you are the proprietor of the entire universe, it's not even worth one penny in comparison. That was the wealth Lord Chaitanya gave the six Goswamis. The wealth to purchase him. And when you purchase Krishna, you can see Krishna. You could feel Krishna. You could speak to Krishna. You could dance with Krishna. There was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and he wanted wealth. So he was worshipping Lord Shiva. And he actually was a very, very great devotee of Shiva. He was offering the bay leaves and doing mantras, Om Namah Shivaya. And Lord Shiva actually appeared before him. I will give you whatever benediction you like. I am Ashutosh. He said, please give me great wealth. He said, oh, if you want great wealth, I'll tell you where to get it. Go to Sanatan Goswami. He was living at that time on the hill, Dwadasaditya Teel, near the bank of Jamuna. So you go to this Dwadasaditya Teel. There you will find Sanatan Goswami. He has a touchstone. This touchstone, if you chant particular mantra, with this touchstone, you can transform anything, and you can transform iron into gold. So he went to Vrindavan, Dwadasaditya Teel. There was Sanatan Goswami sitting under a tree doing Harinam. He said, Swamiji, I'm a devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said you're his good friend and you would give me a touchstone. Please give me this touchstone. I want to have this touchstone. Sanatan, oh, you want that thing? All right, take it. Where is it? Over there. Looked over. There was a rubbish heap. In the rubbish heap? He said, yeah, I think it's somewhere in there. So he went going through the rubbish heap, and there he found touchstone. He started touching things, and it was turning into pure gold, and as much gold as he wants. He could have been the wealthiest man in all the world. He was just touching. Then he began to think, why Goswamiji kept this, the most valuable thing in the whole world, why he kept it in the rubbish bin? He must have something even more valuable than this, because that's the nature of greed. Whatever you have, you always want something more. So he went back to Sanatan Goswami and said, Goswamiji, why did you keep this touchstone in the rubbish heap? You must have something more valuable than this. Sanatan Goswami said, I have something unlimitedly more valuable than that. Please give me that. Please, please. Sanatan Goswami said, I will give it to you. But first you take the touchstone, throw it in Jamuna. This would entail substantial faith. But Sanatan Goswami, by his kind, loving, generous nature, he actually awakened such faith in that person that he was willing to throw the touchstone, the thing that he was longing to achieve all his life, throw it away forever with the promise that there was something better. That is faith. Ado Shraddha. The beginning of our spiritual life is faith. When we have faith in the Vaishnavas, faith in the Guru, faith in Krishna, then we're able and willing to give up so many things that are dear to us because we have faith that we'll get something better. All of you have given up so many things that brought such happiness to you. Even you're accepting things that cause you pain and anxiety. You can only do that if you have faith. Therefore, there is nothing more precious than faith. That's why we have to have the association of good, honest, sincere devotees.
because they will nourish and protect our faith. If we associate with people who are blasphemous, if we associate with people who are challenging our faith, if we associate with people and things that increase our attachment to material illusion, then our faith, it is robbed from us. Materialistic people, in one sense, they are like plunderers of our faith. And even devotees, if they are criticizing others, they are plundering our faith. There's nothing more precious than faith. Why? Because it gives us the strength to perform the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means there are many things that we love to do that we have to give up, and many things that we don't like to do that we have to accept. We can only survive with faith. Therefore, there is nothing more important than proper association. We see the extent, because Sanatana Goswami was such an honest, loving, merciful, pure devotee, that person had faith in him. When Prabhupada came to the Western culture, having boyfriends, girlfriends, taking drugs, eating meat, this is just the sustenance of life. They were willing to instantly give it all up because they had faith that Prabhupada was their well-wisher. And actually, they were getting nothing immediately in return except some service. But the promise that someday they would get pure, ecstatic love of God, they were willing to give it all up with that hope for the future because they had faith in Prabhupada's words. That person was willing to risk the greatest thing he had ever attained because he had faith in the words of Sanatana Goswami. He threw the touchstone in the Jamuna, lost forever. He turned to Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami said, "Now I will give you a treasure unlimitedly greater than anything that touchstone can ever create." "What is that?" Sanatana Goswami, he said, "You repeat after me. This is the touchstone of all touchstones, because this will awaken pure, unalloyed love of God, ecstatic praying from within the heart. Take this gift of the Maha Mantra." Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has given us all the most priceless touchstone of the holy name. There is no greater wealth than the association of the Vaishnavas. That place where great souls come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that is Sangam. King Prataparudra, he was the emperor of all of Orissa. And at that time, Orissa went all the way down beyond Rajmundri in Andhra Pradesh. It was a vast, vast kingdom. When King Prataparudra heard from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he begged Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Please grant me an interview with him." When Lord Chaitanya returned from his South Indian travel, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached him and said, "The Maharaj Prataparudra, the king, he's such a sincere, humble person. He wants to have your darshan." Now, because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, he wanted to set a very, very proper standard that those in the renounced order should not associate with materialistic people for sense gratification. He was very strict. So he became very angry. He told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "You should reconsider what you are saying. For a sannyasi to mix with such a materialistic person as a king is worse than drinking poison willingly. If you ever ask me to do this again, I will leave this place. You will not see me again.
So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told King Pratapa that Mahaprabhu is not willing to see you because you're king. This is his standard. Maharaj Pratapa, with all sincerity, he wrote a letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the Vaishnavas. He said, if I am not allowed to see Lord Chaitanya because I am the king, then what is the purpose of my life? I will give up my kingdom. I will give up my family. I will become a beggar on the street. And if still he will not see me, then there's no reason to live. I will give up my life. When the devotees heard this, they were struck with wonder because they knew the king was serious. He was actually willing to give up all the royal opulence, power of king to become a beggar lying on the footpath. If that was what was the cost of receiving Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Through King Prataparuja, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us what is real wealth. The wealth of Krishna consciousness. The wealth of love of God. This Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu possessed to unlimited degree for all eternity. And this he wanted to give the world. One time in Puri, some Brahmins came and they were inviting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their house for prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled at them and said, I will only come into the house of those who possess 1 lakh. Now these are simple Brahmins, and 1 lakh in those days, 500 years ago, was a lot. So they became very sad and despondent. Lord Chaitanya said, what's wrong? They said, our life is finished. We have no reason to live. You'll never come. We're poor Brahmins. We'll never be able to earn 1 lakh. And if we don't get your association, then our life has no meaning. Lord Chaitanya laughed. He said, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about names of God. That's real wealth. That's real money. The names of God will purchase Krishna. Nothing else will purchase Krishna. Those who chant 1 lakh of names every day, I will come before them and accept their offerings. So they became very happy, and you can know for sure every one of those Brahmins from that day on chanted 1 lakh minimum of the holy names of God. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi. We will have kirtan and continue this evening.